Welcome everyone to Throwback Tuesday, episode 82, the morning edition.
For you.
Yeah, it's like afternoon for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
The very, very early morning edition. This is too goddamn early for me. It's black people time. I don't wake up till midnight.
Well, people get up this early to go to church.
Okay. Something wrong with them goddamn people, and I don't know what the hell their problem is, whatever. You know, you can praise Galactus in your kitchen nowadays. You don't have to go to his building to do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All you gotta do is get one of them Sacagawea coins, one of them Santa Maria candles, and put a cross on your refrigerator. You're good to go, babe.
Sounds good.
Yeah, exactly. It's that easy way there, people, but yeah, I'm still ready to go back to sleep, but you know what? Something woke me up, and it was this goddamn movie.
You hit the nail on the head. You hit. This movie wakes your ass up.
Man, you tell me you don't like the film. You can tell me that it had bad characters in it, but if you ever tell me that you was bored watching this, something's wrong with you.
I don't know how anyone can say this is a bad movie.
Man, it is one of the best action films ever. You haven't seen the sequel yet, have you?
No.
Oh my god, the sequel is even more intense with the action scenes. I mean, when me and Cody went to the theaters to go see it, there was this girl at the last fight. We were sitting by her. She was at the edge of her seat, like literally. She was like hopping out of her seat or whatever. I was tapping him on the shoulder. I was like, damn, look at this chick right here. She's, and I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of with her too, because that last fight scene, the second one, was just fucking epic.
That's, I mean, I want to see the second one, but what you're saying about it tops this one, I'm like, that's pretty big, because this one is pretty badass.
Yeah, this one's pretty badass too, and, similar method that followed it was Dread the year after.
Yeah, it's like, because I seen Dread, and I really liked it. And I'm like, okay, which one? I mean, I know this came out before Dread.
Yeah.
So I'm like, did Dread rip that off?
I wouldn't say it necessarily ripped it off, because you know what both of these movies ripped it off from, right?
No.
The Punisher Warzone.
I can see that.
That big budget movie right there, baby, with all the great talent that was behind there, and that last action sequence with putting the Punisher in the mansion like this, hey, man. You know what the thing is, though, Z? With this plot line of the whole huge ass apartment complex and the hero going through it, I like that storyline a lot for action films. I like it.
I did too. This one's a lot different than Dread due to the fact it's the same premise, same everything.
Yeah.
It's just that you have a SWAT team against an apartment, and in Dread, you just had two people.
Yeah. And really, all you need is one Dread. I think Dread kind of slows down in some parts, and not to say that in a bad way, but, you know, there's moments where he's just talking to his rookie or something like that, and here, you don't really get that. It's just straight-up action. Once the violence kick off, it's just straight action.
Have you noticed that in action movies? This is, like, the first is it Asian? Korea? Indonesia?
Indonesia.
Indonesia. This is the first foreign movie of an action movie I've seen. Well, not I've seen that zombie movie, Horde, and the action movie. It's America. They're slow. There's dead periods. This one does not have it. At the beginning, it's somewhat a little slow.
Yeah.
But it picks up and it doesn't let loose. Doesn't let go. In American movies, they do. They do have that breathe down period.
And you know why, too? Because you know this about me. I love foreign films just because they get straight to the point. But America films, we seem to have a formula we have to follow with mm-hmm. every film. It's like, oh, the action hero's got to save the girl. They got to have a quiet moment together and fall. That was one of the reasons why I loved Edge of Tomorrow so much, or whatever, is because they never once tried to crowbar Emily Blunt onto Tom Cruise's character. I mean, it just came organically.
Yeah. It flowed naturally.
It was never that. Yeah, there was never, like, pushing that love interest, like, all these two just gonna fall on love out of nowhere.
No, this
was like a mutual respect.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, that's why foreign movies, they seem to know what to do.
Yeah. Why do you think so many goddamn American action films are like so watered down and horrible compared to the foreign one. Because the foreign ones get straight to the fucking point, dude. Like, why do you, basically to sum this up, why do you go see a Rambo film? You go see that to see Stallone kill a bunch of motherfuckers in the woods somewhere. Where, why do you go see a Terminator film? Why do you go see a Predator film? It's like, why do you go see all these action films? We don't see it to. Oh, better yet, from last year, why do you see a Godzilla film?
To see Godzilla.
You don't see. Why do you go see a martial arts film? Because see badass martial arts film. I even say this. Why do you go see those dance movies? So you want to see badass dance moves and shit like that. Get straight to the fucking point. Don't be stopped. And with the best thing that the Raid does is it promises you action and martial arts. And
And
I want to say after 15 minutes, it gets right into it.
it's not. And it's not like a quick scene. I mean, you get, what, 5 to 10 minutes, maybe over 10 minutes of a fight
Yeah.
scene.
Yeah, each one I want to say is about 5 7. I love that one in the hallway, dude.
Oh, with
That was one of
all
the highlights.
that one when he like when he sprung off the door
Yes.
and pretty much impaled that guy on the broken door. I'm like, holy shit. I need to make friends with some Asian people who know how to do this shit so I can start acting to them.
Make such badass
Is this the first Indonesian movie you've seen?
necessarily, because I never really paid attention to the Neo. I usually watch a lot more Korean films, so I want to say maybe it probably was, but I never really paid attention to the Indonesian film. So I'm gonna say this probably was my first Indonesian film I've ever seen. I remember when the trailer came out. I remember I was at work, and I was like, that movie looked bad. I was talking to somebody. He was like, that movie looked bad. It was playing in one theater, I think, like probably I want to say in deeper LA of me and shit. I went to go check that out, man. And there was about three other people in there, obviously, because nobody knew about it and shit. And we all was clapping hard, man. I was like, this is a badass action flick, dude.
This has a cult following too, right?
Oh, hell yeah. People love, I mean, I'm telling you, that second one too.
I'm definitely going to be seeing that, I would say within the next couple weeks. I definitely want to see. I got to find it if it's on Netflix or not.
Highly recommend it, man, because in the second one they set up like bosses. There's like it's almost like a video game. It's like levels you gotta get through, and it's each boss is just badass the next one. And then the last fight scene, dude, goes on, I wanna say, for about 10 minutes, and you still don't want it to stop.
Yeah, and that's why I'm, this is kind of weird because I just read that there is going to be an American remake of this movie, and Taylor Kitsch is going to be the lead.
Yeah, there were talks about the Hemsworth brothers
Yeah.
doing it. I think all three of them, they said, even the forgotten one, Liam
Sorry, I'm just like.
they were talking about doing it, but I want to say either they turned it down, negotiations didn't work out, or something like that. I don't remember. And yeah, that remake came out, and I was just like, oh God, America's about to put their stink on it. One thing is, why is it a remake, though? This series is still going on.
So the third one leaves you, the second one leaves you to a sequel.
Well, they've already announced that there's going to be a third one.
Okay.
Yeah, and the same director is coming back on it because he did this one and the second one, and I'm just like, well, then how the fuck they gonna remake something if, man, I tell you, that's that Sony power, man. That's so
This
Sony skill.
guy, this director, holy shit. I think he's American.
Gareth Evans, yeah.
No, he's Welsh. Yeah.
Yeah. Gareth Evans, and people was getting him mixed up with Gareth Edwards from the Godzilla director. Because they keep forgetting the name.
I'm sure he's happy for that.
I was like, oh, yeah, some great. This director, man, Gareth Evans, he needs to work on a Batman film and work on the martial arts scenes.
I wonder if he choreographed it. I doubt it, but
He had his hand in a lot of the how the fight scenes were going to be shot and shit.
the beauty, oh my God, the fight scenes, it's the camera work, the cinematography, it was just perfect. This movie is freaking amazing.
This dude knows how to shoot like some of the most intense action fight scenes or whatever. Like in the second one, he shoots a fight scene inside a car, and you see every angle of everything. Man, I watch a Fast and Furious movie, I can't see a damn thing that goes on. What in the fuck is going on? This dude is fucking gold when it comes to action.
And
He's a true gem.
he did a VHS segment too.
I know he did. And I was just like, yeah, Jesus Christ,
And
don't fuck
VHS
up.
sucks.
Yeah, don't fuck your career up. Just stick with action, bro. Stick with action.
This dude, this, I mean, keep him over there, 'cause he seems to be, he knows what he's doing over there. Don't, bring him over here and water it down.
VHS movie. I was like, Jesus
No,
Christ, Bill.
I hated the first one.
That second one was bullshit, I'm telling you right now. As a matter of fact, they have a third one that came out last year, too. I think it was called VHS Viral.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm not bullshitting you, man. I think it's on, it was on VOD, like, the first week it opened up in theaters and shit. Oh, another thing, too, is, people, there's a Wreck 3 out right now, and I'm hearing great things about it, so I would recommend checking that out, people.
And that's a Spanish movie, I want to say.
I don't know which one this one is, but yeah, the original ones were. I'm not sure what this one is gonna be. I really didn't read too much details on it. I just heard it was getting great reviews or whatever. So, but
This was actually the first movie. Like, we've done, Ip Man and I Saw the Devil, and those weren't English movies. You had subtitles.
yeah.
This one, I watched the English dubbed version,
Okay.
which it did. It didn't make a difference, but it was the f weirdest. It was the first movie I watched that was dubbed in English, and it was weird as fuck.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how weird was it, like, just seeing their mouths when I move and shit like
It was
that,
weird, but you had especially the bad guy, to me to Tama.
we're gonna be fucking names up here, people, because we don't speak this shit, but yeah,
It's
Tamar was just telling me.
his voice in English was so fucking
Oh,
badass.
was it really?
Yes.
Oh, now, see, I never seen the English ones. I stay true to heart of watching them in the subtitle format, but
I don't think it didn't make a difference,
who did his
but
voice, you know?
huh?
You know who did his voice?
No.
No? Oh, okay. They didn't show it in the subtitles, I mean the credits or anything like that?
No, I it kind of I didn't watch like on legally, so
Oh, okay.
because this is a really hard movie to find, I'm not gonna
Yeah.
lie.
I think the second one kind of overshadows this one. It's one of those effects. I think it's that Batman, that Dark Knight syndrome. Dark Knight overshadows Batman Begins, the people and shit like
I can
that.
see
So
that.
yeah, I think this one definitely gets overshadowed. But I watched both of them back to back, man. And when I rewatched this movie, I was like, you know what? Time to put the second one in, because the second one picks up right after this one.
And that came out last year?
Yes, sir. Came out right before Captain America.
Okay. And Raid, Redemption, it got released in late 2001, but worldwide 2012. I did hear things. I mean, it's got great ratings.
Oh, hell yeah.
85% on Rotten
It was
Tomatoes.
around the actually it was around the table for a long time, because I want to say in 2010 November it got released at a late festival, and it was only viewed privately. And then 2011 it appeared in two film festivals, and got its limited release, and it won those two film festivals. I forgot which one of
Toronto.
them. Yeah, the Toronto one, and there was another one. I forgot what the other one was, and it got its limited release. And then 2012, it's got its so-called wide release, if you want to even call it that.
Yeah.
That was like five more theaters, something like that. And then we skip to 2014, where we get the sequel, and then I think I say 2016, we get the third one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah. But I'm looking at the awards. This in 2012, it was at the Maya Awards, which I think it's Indonesia or whatever.
Yeah.
And this was nominated for pretty much everything.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, man. I haven't seen I mean, when you release a movie like this, which I think they should, I wish America would release more foreign films worldwide. I wish foreign films could have the power and distributor to release films worldwide like this, 'cause I think this sets the bar for fucking action films. And Stallone, for him to come out and say The Expendables 3 was gonna be the Raid, man, you insulted every action film ever.
I haven't seen Expendables 3, and I'm pretty sure no.
I'm telling you, it's right. It'll come nowhere fucking near the Raid.
Maybe he's talking about like Dredd or something. I don't know.
They ain't even talking about that. They don't even come close to it. Like, seriously. When I saw Expendables 3, I was just waiting for, like, where are these Raid moments he kept talking about? So Stallone is just saying shit now to get people in the theater. It's just like, I was insulted when he said, I'm not gonna lie, I was just like, to compare that garbage to The Raid, man, that is the biggest fucking insult ever. I sent him a tweet actually saying, so after I saw it, it's like, so this was supposed to be your Raid? Gave him a thumbs down or whatever. It's just like, yeah.
Thankfully, well, for you, thankfully, he didn't say Raid 2.
Oh, he could have been talking about that because he said that statement after The Raid 2 came out. So, do you shit, fuck.
No, I am actually looking forward to, like, I loved I Saw the Devil. That was great. It Man was really good. But I'm really looking forward to seeing a sequel to this. I want to see Raid 2.
Yeah, I want to say, you know, with It Man and I Saw the Devil, those were more like, you know, well, especially I Saw the Devil, that was a thriller mystery in a way. But It Man definitely was an action film, but it was an action drama. This one is straight up action. You know, go back even on It Man, I think that the foreigners over there, they handled the drama and action combined into one really fucking well. And even in this film, when it's just straight action, they handle that just equally well. I mean, dude, these foreign films, man, they raise the bar every time I watch them. Like, that's the most excited I get to see when I go to theaters, when I find out a foreign film is playing near LA or anything like that, because shit is just badass, dude.
This is actually, it's actually on the poster, it says the best action movie in decades.
Yeah.
And I think you could probably take that away because of Raid 2, probably. I can't read it unless I
Oh, I
blow it
see
up.
it. Twitch film. Twitchfilm.com. Okay. Yeah, man. Hey, I'm with you, man. One of the best action films on the second one is 2.5 hours long. And every fight scene, dude, you're just like, why is this movie so long? Because you're like, you're not gonna top yourself. You're not gonna. And then when it gets to the end and you find out that each fight just keeps topping itself, you're just like, how the fuck did they do that? No, not for a sequel. No. No. No, that's no, dude. I'm telling you, dude, you should have been in that theater when we went to go see that one. It was a crowded theater. People was standing. I was hearing people stand up and applauding. That was probably one of the best movie experiences I've ever had in the theater.
You kind of wish you saw this one in the theater, right?
I did see this one in theater, but it wasn't that many people in there.
Okay. This would be a great theater experience.
Oh man, I would watch back to both back to back in the theaters.
Well, maybe you'll be lucky in with Raid 3.
Oh Jesus Christ! I was gonna say, how long was this movie? Because I
Hour
remember keep up
40.
hour. It didn't feel like it, man. It went by so smooth. I don't know if it's because you're just constantly seeing people beat the shit out of each other.
Well, it did take a bit for it to pick up. But when it
That
picked
was about
up,
15 minutes.
I say when they first enter,
Yeah.
that, because you really get. Like, well, let me do a plot synopsis
Yeah, I
before.
was gonna say, we're getting stopped. We've been going on for too long now.
The Raid Redemption, directed by Gareth Edwards.
He's a god.
I am not gonna pr I cannot pronounce any of these names, so I'm not gonna try. Starring a bunch of awesome people.
You know, three of them is gonna be in Star Wars.
Which ones?
The main lead,
Sweet. Okay, he's cool. I liked him.
the dude with the long hair at the end, the one that was kicking his ass, him and his brother.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, he's gonna be. He's in the sequel too, and he plays a different character, and that character's even more badass. The third one, I don't think is in this one. He's in the second one.
Okay.
But yeah, man, that made me even more hyped up for Star Wars. I'm just like, oh man, we gonna get some badass fight scenes? Is what we trying to say? Well, what are they gonna be playing now? Come on.
No, J.J. Abrams is gonna stereotype him.
Oh, hey, that's fine with me as long as they get some cool ass martial arts film, man. If you make them bounty hunters in the next Star Wars film, that'd be badass.
Yeah, I think it would. Budget 1.1 million, box office 4.1 million, and it's a 20-man SWAT team storming an apartment complex, trying to get this crime boss, this overlord who's just a massive killer, and
Who we later find out is just really a little fish in this big fish world.
yeah, I'm sure that plays into the sequel too.
Oh, hell yeah, it really does. He's just like, Jesus Christ, man. That dude in the first one was, he was a nothing crime boss then compared to these dudes.
And pretty much, if it's the apartment complex bands together and eliminates the SWAT team, and you fo focus on a rookie trying to actually him and a few others trying to get out.
Yeah, Rama is the main lead here,
Rama.
played by Iko Uwais. And that guy's awesome. I love that guy. I was gonna say, you say start off with 20 SWAT team members. I think it ended up with four.
I think it ended up with one.
Yes, you're right. No, you're right.
He was the lone survivor.
Oh man, you remember that scene where it was they cut the lights out and the SWAT teams were getting shot up on the stairway by the dude at the top?
Oh, is that when they were, is that when he used like a grenade launcher to open a door and to get the light and the guys above him started
Yeah,
shooting?
it was. Yeah. And then the dudes above them was like just shooting them down and shit like that. And you see like the blood just splatting out as they're constantly getting shot, and the only light you can see is from the guns.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful fucking shot, dude. That's like Jesus
It
Christ.
did do, I don't know if you noticed it, but it did do one of those, like, you've seen Battle Royale, right?
Yeah.
You know when the one guy kept getting shot and he just kept coming? They did that in here. A guy got shot multiple times, fell against the wall, and just went back at it. I'm like, that is cool. Foreign films kind of do that a lot.
Yes, they do, and we love them for it.
But there's three very key fight scenes in this. You got the hallway scene, which we talked about, which had an amazing freaking move, which I can't even describe because it's
And it
just.
had a highlight move in there too. That was displayed in like the teaser and the trailer online. Is when Rama took that dude's head, ran into the light, and then just kept slamming it against the wall.
And then you got the scene where the drugs were being made. And then you had the with Mad Dog, who was the guy you were talking about, the long hair, and the two brothers fighting, which was that guy got a fucking what, fluorescent light bulb stuck in his throat and he still kept going.
That dude, that is a badass little dude. I've seen some of his martial arts segments or whatever. That dude is like, I want to say, he's shorter than me. I think he's like 5'3" or something like that.
He looks small.
The dude is incredible. I mean, his martial arts scenes are some of the best. And the second one, I was just like, let this dude release in a room full of people and just let him go at it. And they did that in the movie too. It was just a ton of fucking people that came at him. He was beating everybody's asses and shit like that. The dude is a fucking threat, like a motherfucker. Like that is a hell of a villain to have at the end.
Oh, and especially, oh, he also had that one fight scene when he took out the sergeant.
Yeah, that was a badass scene too, man. I love all the action scenes in here. Oh, even the scene where the dude got stuck in the floor, they just shot it from above and you see the blood just squirt out of whatever they shot it at. I was like, damn, dude.
I loved right before the hallway scene. I loved when Rama grabbed that guy and threw him off this off the floor, and
Yes.
he landed on the fucking the siding on the next floor down. I'm like, holy shit.
Shit was intense, dude. It was damn near intense, man. I mean, for me, it was one of the best foreign films I've ever. To me, it's one of the best. I agree completely with that statement on the poster. It's one of the best action films I've ever seen. I mean, because America's action films, man, our action films get so fucking watered down with, is this guy gonna get a love interest? He's gonna save someone. Oh, he's got codes and morals and shit like that. Like Equalizer. It's a badass film. When Denzel's on screen, but when he's off, that movie, nobody give a fuck about what else is going on in that film.
We both agree that the hardware store scene was probably the best scene in the movie.
Oh hell yeah, definitely. I mean, they cued the music right time. Even the slow motion water scenes were even looked cool and shit like that. But before that, man, I didn't say that movie had a lot of fucking slow part. I was just like, man, we really don't need all this. Just like we know Denzel's a badass. There's no reason to go back in his past or nothing like that. Let's just get into it. Come on, let's go. I think that's where something like both Raids films, I think that's where they like stand out from them is they get right into the fucking action, man. They get right to it. Another one would be a Statham film. My God, man. know this dude can kick everybody ass. Why do we gotta see an hour and 20 minutes of him just driving around or doing some shit that ain't nobody gives a fuck about? Just get to that last action scene where he beats everybody's ass.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about transporters.
Shit, I'm talking about all those films. They're all the same.
They're all the same. But this one, you get very small character development with Rama. Yeah. At the very beginning, you know, he's working out, he's his pregnant wife. Then you find out his brother is one of the top guys to Tama.
Yeah, Donnie Olimpia plays Andy in the film.
Yeah, and which when they found out, well, he didn't find out. Tama didn't find out that they were brothers. They just found out that, you know, from the cameras. And when he was getting, like, beaten by Mad Dog, and then the brother walks in, and he lets him go, I'm like, what's going on here? Then they all stand up, I'm like, oh, shit.
You want to know something? 5 minutes into the sequel, say goodbye to that brother.
I figured.
Matter of fact, they don't even display it on screen. They just tell him in the background, it's like, you know, your brother was murdered. All that shit he did, you know, he turned his back on them. They murdered his ass. I'm like, damn. Oh, man. Man, I personally don't have any negative criticism about this film. I went in there straight in. Go ahead.
The only small thing is just the shaky cam.
You thought there was shaky cam? I didn't see no shaky cam.
It wasn't during the fight scene, which it usually somehow it's supposed to be shaky cams in the fight scene. It was when they were talking. Well, it could have been setting it up, you know, so it could have been smart. It could have been setting it up for something. It was in the hallway when the SWAT team was kind of like hovering a wall. There was like kind of like a shaky camness to it.
I don't recall seeing no shaky cam, and I got Blu-ray, so maybe it's because you watched it. Like, so it wasn't no
it's,
shaky cam.
It's possible. It's possible.
I'm about to say, you don't know shaky cam in this film. What the fuck?
I did hate one character though. I hated the lieutenant, or the sergeant, the guy in the polo shirt.
Yeah, I'm about to say who played that dickhead. I think it was it Booty?
Is Wahoo?
Wahoo. Oh, okay. Yeah, that dude. I think it was
Pierre Bruno. Yeah.
Yeah, Pierre Bruno. Yeah, I think it was him. Yeah, that guy was a dick.
And what was his motive that the SWAT team thought he was obviously the lieutenant, so he was in charge. And he brings the SWAT team in, and no one knows that they're there. He's doing it for him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's got some, what we find out in the sequel and stuff like that is that, they're pretty much like just, they're sick of this because, you know, I guess the Indonesian police department or whatever place the country displays, I'm assuming it's Indonesian.
Yeah, it's never said.
They're too afraid to take on these mob bosses or whatever and shit. So this captain is, he's going out on his own, just taking these guys in there or whatever and just finishing this shit because he's sick of it. Because they're going to believe that this guy was the big shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're in here thinking that he's the main one, and then we later find out towards the end of the film and even in the beginning of the second one when the higher up police department comes in, they're just kind of like, nah, that guy was nothing. You just rattled the cage. you just stirred up trouble now, and now they're gonna come looking for you with the bigger ones or whatever. So that captain fucked up in a big way. Because, like you said, everyone dies in this film. Rama's the only one, and he has a new family now or whatever. So we find out that, like, oh, these guys were shit.
Well, didn't he take another SWAT guy up to that house where that guy that let him in his room? Wasn't there another guy?
No.
No?
No.
I thought there was another injured guy. But when you talk about the drama. When they had the sword go through the wall and it cut his cheek.
Tension, baby.
That was pure tension because you think, oh, he's going to pull it out. But no, he left a sword in the wall.
Man, that is some straight up martial arts skills for your ass to be able to stand there with that cut and that sword still sitting there or whatever. And then him wiping the blood off too? When the blade was sliding.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, oh, shit, he's gonna know that they're in there because they're going to pull the sword out and see the blood.
Yeah, but when he wiped the blood, I was like, God, I wouldn't have thought of that. I was like, you fucked, dude.
That's why this is a very clever movie.
My bitch ass would have been screaming at that cutting sword. Went, ah! He'd have found my ass. He'd stab me too. And I'm like, God damn, you stabbed me.
But I do notice that if, like, I don't think if you just go on the street in, like, Indonesia or Korea or whatever and have a fight and have, say, pick two people and say have a fight scene, it's not going to look as good on there than a movie. Could you see, can you see people? Because, Mad Dog, that guy was just crazy.
Oh, yeah. Dude is fucking crazy. I mean, he got that crazy look in his eyes, too.
And they kept pulling him up when they ducked him down. I'm like, just take him on the ground. They did that. He did, that didn't work either. I mean, he literally, that fight scene was probably about maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And it was about 80% Mad Dog.
And rewatching that film, this film, whatever, and then going back on it, I was like, and they topped it with the sequel. It made it longer. And that doesn't happen. And that doesn't never
no,
happen.
It doesn't.
It never fucking happens or whatever. I was like, you know what they should have got? They should have got Ken Watanabe at this ending scene and whatever, and from Godzilla, just all you hear in the background before the fight, saying, you hear that Mortal Kombat song kicks in, and then you just hear Ken Watanabe go, fight.
That would be awesome.
Mortal Kombat! You know what? Rama should be, okay.
I can see that. He's really small, though. He looks really small.
Hey, Luke wasn't tall, shit.
No, but he was muscular though. I can't, you know, this guy was in a vest and everything.
Luke Kang was not muscular. I'm telling this right now from the video game. That dude was not muscular. That dude was tiny and small. Dude, they got that fucking that video. That was not a fucking. I'm telling you right now. Here goes your Mortal Kombat cast right here.
Yeah, this everyone in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. You just get this movie, and then you just host a tournament on a private island. And then you just have a fight scene until you get to the whatever the fucking villain you're gonna have in the film, whatever, to the end. You just have a tournament there, and there you go.
How
easy is it to fucking make that movie, man? Jesus Christ.
I could see Tama being Shang Tsung.
You mean Rama?
Or no, Tama.
Okay, Tama. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Hey, you did bad.
And I loved his character development, like right at the beginning where he shoots those guys. Then he's out of bullets on the last guy and goes, hold this. And then he gets a freaking... Then he gets a fucking hatchet. I'm like, yeah, I think that's just the best character development in like 2 minutes than anything.
I do remember that scene. Yeah, he was taking the bullets. This dude was crying, pissing his pants. He took the machete shit and whatever, just slapped his ass off. His chest like, oh, well, you know. Those machete scenes in this film was pretty goddamn intense, so...
Yeah.
When they were walking down the hall, tapping the shit against the wall, man, I was like, Rama, you gotta get the fuck up out of here, man. I mean, I don't know what you gotta do, but you gotta get the fuck out of here somehow, man. I adored the fuck out of this film, man. It easily was watching it back from Red 2, whatever. I was just like, this is all one big movie to me. I mean, this is just one huge movie.
Yeah, well, you said it picks up right after, right?
Yeah, right, like literally right after.
So, yeah, that could be, it's like, you know, Hunger Games style.
Oh, fuck that.
But it picks up right where, you know, so I could see that. That's really cool. And I just really hated that fucking sergeant or the lieutenant that wore in the polo shirt. I just did not like him at all.
I understand his motivation to it. I didn't hate him as much as you did. I don't know why.
No, I think I just hated his portrayal. Like, one, they're raiding something. He's in a fucking polo. I'm like, what the fuck?
This dude is obsessed with doing something, and he went to stupid fucking extreme levels to get it done. Obviously, we find out those consequences at the end of the film. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, this lieutenant pretty much got me fucked now. I can't tell you how excited I am for Ray 3. That's my most anticipated film of the next decade, really, to be honest. I hope it picks up right with the blood. Obviously, it probably is, because that one just hits up. And obviously, the last sequence of the Raid was one of the greatest fucking things in film history. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's...
It was that fucking fantastic. And this one, man, it's even hard to say that this one is a minor one to the second one. Like, you know, and this one's still just badass or whatever. I think, easily, it's one of the best action films ever.
Yeah, it's really like it's set the bar, I want to say, and that's not speaking for foreign or domestic. It's set the bar all time for action movies.
This genre, man, it really sucks. Because action movies was, man, it was on a real fucking low. I mean, I'll be honest, it kind of picked up a little bit this year, but there was still, like, those high-profile action films where you just like, my God, man. Even, just recently watching Taken 3, man, the director on that one, that dude, he's directed some action films where all the editing on it for the action is just fucking horrible, dude. Like, Casey, shit. Taken 3, you don't see a goddamn thing. Well, Taken 3, you see a goddamn thing, whatever. It's like, my God, man. Captain America has some great action in it. I mean, you definitely can see it. I definitely think about the Marvel films, at least their action, you see it, and it goes on in there. What was that fucking bullshit ass Die Hard film?
Good Day to Die Hard.
Oh, fuck that shit, man. That action in there was horrible, dude.
Well, that whole movie was horrible.
Yeah, that whole movie was horrible. The action itself was even fucking horrible. Expendables, obviously, we already know the action is bullshit. I'm like, Stallone's got all these martial artists on his team, whatever. I never once give them a scene to do the martial arts. It's like, why even have them in this movie?
Could you imagine a foreign Expendables with people like this?
I think that they have it. It's called This, the Race.
Yeah.
Hey, they're a SWAT team, and they were doing the job. You know they got a female one on Netflix?
Yeah, what's it called?
Mercenaries.
Yeah, I've seen the box for it.
It's fucking horrible, dude. That's fucking dog shit. I mean, it's dog shit. It's horrible, dude. Dude, combined synergy. The characters are horrible in general. It's fucking it's a piece of shit. It's atrocious. I don't think you can get any worse than the male Expendables. But then they released that mercenary shit. I was like, oh god, I hope this was the female one they've been talking about for the longest.
I'm kind of with you. I can't say next to that one character, I can't say nothing, but the action scenes make up for everything. It's you keep you're involved and you get drama with the action scenes as well, because Rama, who you follow after the ambush when everyone pretty much dies, that he's going against four guys. He's going against a room. Him and two other guys are going in a room with other guys. Then he's going with him and his brother against Mad Dog.
In a way, it's kind of like an underdog story, too. It's why you want to follow Rama so much, because, you know, he's the rookie on the team, and he's the last one alive, left alive, going against this, you know, these machete guys and all the rest of these guys and stuff like that. So, in a way, you kind of like, you feel for more than this character just because you want to see him succeed throughout the ship. You know, he's a good guy, there's bad guys, and you want to see him get through this. And, like you said, the drama is installed in between the action scenes. And it adds great tension and drama as well, because there's a lot of scenes in here. I was just like, how the fuck is this guy going to do this?
Looking in the raid too, it says it was banned in Malaysia.
Damn. I don't wonder why.
Is it that bad?
I didn't see anything where I was just like, oh, they can't show this. Oh, my God. I don't recall seeing. I don't know. Maybe there was like some disputes behind camera. I don't know.
Okay.
But Malaysia's not that far from it. Huh.
No.
I'm curious about that now.
And
I
it
think I did
says
hear something about this, but I don't remember reading it.
he it says Raid 3 will take place 2 hours before the end of Raid 2.
Oh, my God. It's so beautiful, man. Oh, Jesus. Oh, that is perfect. I'm so for that. Oh, maybe the ending of Raid 2 almost sets up, you know, this whole crime syndicate that's going on in this country, man. So I'm all for that. I'm all for that, Steve, man. This is how you step up action films. So it's like you don't reveal. I think that's the thing with action films, is that they give away too much in the first film, knowing that they're going to be like a trilogy or a sequel or something like that, you know?
I wonder if that was their plans to have a trilogy, obviously, with us.
Well, they announced the third one when the second one came out, so I'm assuming, yeah.
And it looked.
I think that was one of the best things about this Raid trilogy so far is that, like, you think that they can't top each other, and when you later find out watching these movies, it's just like, nah, these guys, if they're fighting in this one, he's nothing compared to what we got set up coming, man. I mean, that's how you set up bosses and shit like that, or fight scenes, where you don't give away too much in the first film. And even though we feel like we got a lot in the first film, especially with the Mad Dog fight scene, this guy's nothing compared to what the fight scene leads to in the next one. And that's kind of like an insult to Mad Dog, which I mean, no insult at all, because this dude is an incredible bad guy at the end of this film, but he's a little fish dude compared to the fight scenes they got coming up in the second one.
That's something to really look forward to.
Yeah, man, that's definitely something. Because you know, sequels, that's what you want to get hyped up for. You want to get hyped up for it, like that. Sometimes sequels, well, not sometimes, but mostly all the time, where sequels, man, let you down in the whole experience way. Can probably count like five sequels that probably lived up to the first one.
This one, I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. We talk about action movies?
Captain America, this one, The Dark Knight, 22 Jump Street, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I guess. Yeah, so. Oh, Toy Story, I guess. Well, you know, I thought each one was on par. I didn't think either one was better than the other one.
But this one, I mean, with what you said about Raid 2, it looks like they're trying to top every single one.
I don't even know how that's possible. I don't even know how that's fucking possible, man. This one was so badass. This one came out of nowhere. You almost wish that Dread came out first, because I think this one even topped it. It definitely topped Dread. I mean, because this one, it used every aspect of this apartment complex and shit like that. Like you said, people was going on balconies, they were going on floorboards and shit like that, you know. So, and Dread, I think they just need one apartment place, bro.
Even though Dread was cool, I did. Dread was I really liked Dread. Dread, it was really cool. I love the prem. I love the idea of people going into like an apartment building or whatever.
Warzone.
And that's your war zone, pretty much. So it's one setting. So it's really cool. It's kind of like what you said, a video game. Like,
It's simple too, because you know so I'm gonna tell you this, sometimes simple is better. Because when you try to do too much for a silly ass action flick, or silly ass any genre for that matter. Like, okay, silly ass Mortal Kombat. Why the fuck would you want to add a story to a video about a video game where two people just beat the shit out of each other? Give me damn, or Street Fighter. It's a video game about two people beating the fucking shit out of each other. Those two Street Fighter films don't got shit to do with that. Why would you overcomplicate that? Or another one we're on here, Max Payne. A dude is out looking for revenge for the murders of his family. How the fuck did they complicate that?
And
Like,
add something completely off the wall.
why the fuck would you do that? Stick with the most simplest story. Sometimes simple is good. Dread is simple as shit. But people love it. I met one person who did not like Dread. People love it, so keep it fucking simple. And I think that's where action movies can actually learn from, to be honest. If they just kept it simple, put the hero in a scenario right away where it seems like things are against his odds or whatever, and just let him go. It's simple, but at the same time, it's gonna be badass.
And this one, it just has seriously one plot, and it doesn't. It has one very simple plot. Take out the bad guy, and they don't add in. You had the little thing. You have the thing with the brother, which I don't think anyone saw that coming until you saw him see. You saw the brother see Rama in the video. You kind of think he knew him or something. And then the thing at the end, that he was the small fish. I mean, those are just expanded on the plot, but they don't throw in shoehorn stuff, other bullshit.
It doesn't take you away from the main plot,
No,
basically.
no, no,
It's
no,
so
no.
quick and fast paced. You know, that is actually a good point you bring up. There's so many action flicks today They get so much so sidetracked with fucking subplots and shit. You're just like, I don't give a fuck about this. Man. Shit, Jesus, why'd you even have this in here? Like,
Like, I saw Nonstop.
which one was that?
Liam Neeson on a plane.
Oh, Liam's okay, yeah.
And that's a very simple plot, you
Very
know,
simple plot.
but they kept shoehorning other stuff in there.
The Julianne Moore shit.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is like, this is America's, this is American cinema right here. There's too
Yeah.
much stuff. I don't know why they think studios think that, you know, we can't comprehend one story.
Or why they would think that we would like if they just add some love interest or shit like that. Like, no. Like, why do you keep.
We have to appeal to the ladies.
Type of women, it's just like, oh, they have to see love interests in their films now. It's like, what?
It's this one, you know, one plot and it holds your attention throughout for the whole hour 40. That's not hard to do.
You know what? That is actually the best point of this review that you brought up is that it just it, a lot of films get blinded, man. They get blinded by other actual added plot and shit like that. Other characters that are unnecessary. Going back on Liam Neeson's film, man. There's really no reason at all to be having the camera on Forrest fucking Whitaker for almost half the damn film. Don't nobody give a fuck about this dude. He's just on the fucking phone most of the damn time.
Nobody
Why the
cares
fuck
about
on the
Forrest
phone?
Whitaker anyway.
Exactly. Nobody give a fuck about Forrest Whitaker. Come on now. This dude plays a cop in every goddamn movie now. But still. There's no fucking reason for that, man. And there was a Colin Farrell movie that came out 2012 that I actually liked, but it got watered down really like halfway through. I thought it was really good until this got introduced. Some reason his neighbor becomes all of a sudden no one cares about. And next thing you know, he gets thrown in this villain situation where he has to save the girl at the end. I'm just like, why does Hollywood still think we can give a fuck about that?
And we can say the same thing, like, we both love Avengers.
Oh, yes.
Avengers did the same thing.
Avengers didn't do the same thing. There was no love. There was no love
No,
interest.
I'm not talking about love interest. I'm talking about one plot, and they expand, then they kind of throw something else in there about the whole shield thing.
The shield thing is part of the whole universe, though,
That's
so.
what I was gonna get, but they did that. But you didn't know
I did.
that.
Because I'm a comic book, so.
Okay,
No,
but you
man.
gotta think about not a lot of people that saw the movie were comic book people.
I think that a lot of people that went to go see it was $1 billion. I think so. Yes, I think so. I think so.
But you know, you get stuff like that. It's just like American cinema doesn't think that holds our interest if it's one simple
I think
plot.
that's fair in that Avengers thing because they were building a universe.
Okay.
But for Taken ain't building a fucking universe, so.
Well, technically it did, 'cause there's three of them.
That's not a universe, so it's just sequels or whatever. It's set in one area. It's not a fucking universe. Universe is worlds.
Okay.
So where the fuck was you getting that with that Avengers statement now? I don't
Well, I was
follow.
thinking about the whole shield thing, but it's kind of moot point due to the fact of it is establishing future shit.
So I'm trying to understand your complaint there, you son of a bitch. Don't you ever
Well,
complain.
it's r complete removed.
You bastard. How dare you?
But
Goodness
you gotta
gracious.
think, like, every action movie we've seen, it does the same thing. And
Apparently, they have to appeal to women, like you said. I guess, I don't know.
you've seen more, you've probably seen, you've seen a fucking shitload of action movies a year, that it's the same thing.
That's why, once again, that's why I really loved Edge of Tomorrow, because speaking of that appealing to women, I think Emily Blunt played a badass character where she didn't get weak at the end of the film. You know, like they always have that, like, they always set up like this character is like so badass, she can't be touched or whatever. And then we later find out that, like, oh, I got a perfect movie that does that. Pacific Rim.
But the love interest.
They set up that Asian chick. They set her up to be like, oh, she's so smart. She's so great. And then, like, halfway through the film, we find out she has, like, nervous breakdowns and shit. She's like, oh my God, what the fuck? It's like, get the fuck out of here. I think with Edge's mom, they never did that. Emily Blunt played the same character throughout the whole fucking entire film.
Yeah, and this one, I don't, there's only like two women in this movie.
Good. No, I was playing.
The wife and the wife of the one guy.
They got a badass chick in the sequel, Hammer Girl, who I think should be the Yellow Ranger when they do this Power Ranger or a remake or whatever shit. She got some badass fight sequences.
Yeah, the choreography is,
Phenomenal.
especially this one. Like, there's like we know Asian people can do, and you know what? I've kind of looked at it. I've kind of watched like videos of like making of martial art movies. There's no wires. There's no CGI.
I was about to say, yeah, they don't.
This is straight human nature.
That's why their budgets are always fucking cheap. I think one of the biggest budgets out in Asia cinema or whatever was 60 million. Because, like you said, they don't use fucking a CG and shit like that. It's just straight in, unless they're like blowing up a building or something like that, I guess.
Yeah,
But shit,
we
that's.
saw It Man, and that I think that was made pretty cheap.
Yeah, I can't. I actually don't remember the budget, but judging from the look of it, I'm pretty sure it was definitely cheap. But like, that was another film too. That was hand-to-hand combat. That was no
Yeah.
stunt man or anything like that.
And this was no stunt guys, 'cause you see their faces all the time. The fighting, it looks real, it looks painful. Unrealistic. I don't think if a guy gets a light bulb shoved in his throat that he's gonna survive, but
I was gonna say that probably is another reason why we get that shaky cam in American film too, is because of the stunt guys and shit like that.
I can, yeah, that's a really good point.
Man, if you gotta do that though, I don't know. To me, that's kind of like watering down your product. If you're making an action flick and then you gotta get a stunt guy, not the so-called fact of getting a stunt guy, because obviously you have to, but if you gotta get a stunt guy and he's like, oh, he doesn't look nothing like him, shake the camera. If you actually say that on set, that's kind of, I don't know, to me, that's kind of a fuck you then.
It's a fu it's to the viewers, yeah.
I think that's really a fuck you, especially if you know you're an action film and your story, not really all that great or whatever and shit. Like,
Weak.
oh, shake the camera. It's like, well, now you're taking away the one part, one shining silver lining that I had about the film. Now, at least the action might be great, but talking about
It
shaking the camera.
dumbs us down, but foreign movies, they don't do that shit because the actors want to do it, I'm sure.
Oh
And
yeah.
they're like, they can do it. This could be like the, seriously, this could be like the Indonesian gymnastics team for all I know.
About to say they work in the factory. Just
They're making our shoes.
exactly, they're making shoes and shit like that. Whenever they do, it's like finally they make a movie and say, "Hey, come on out here."
It's just that's what the three fight scenes I brought up, well, four, I'll count Mad Dog and the sergeant, that it freaking pulls you in because it's excitement. If you are seriously like you like haven't slept in days, and if you fucking watch this movie, you will be freaking 100% awake due to the fact of the excitement.
So I heard about two American remakes that won't be made for foreign films.
Okay.
Obviously, you said one, which was this one, and then I heard about this way before the announcements even got made. This one, I saw the devil, and I was like shaking my head, because I was like, those are like, I don't, those are like two of my all-time favorite
Yeah.
films, not like just a form of just like all time, whatever. You want to remake them to America way? I was like, ugh. And I was telling someone, I was like, look, I saw the devil went to work in America, and he was like, why not? I was like, because he fucking watered it down, that's why. Oh, this is too gruesome, whatever. And when Kick-Ass got released in theaters, people was fucking complaining about, like, little girl said cunt, oh, when he banned his movie. I'm like, come on now.
I don't think there's an MPAA in foreign films. I honest to God don't think there is.
Always get the stamp that when Kick-Ass 2 came out, they were complaining saying, because y'all know if you remember that campaign where they were like, take ass off the title.
Yeah.
That was the most stupid shot. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding
If I
about that,
remember
really?
correctly, there was that might have been the reason why it didn't do so good, because there was
Yeah.
protest groups everywhere.
Oh yeah, they were trying to ban both movies, man. They were really trying to ban those movies.
And I never seen that until I think I saw Passion when I went to the theaters and Passion of the Christ got released. There was protest groups everywhere trying to people not to see that movie. And I'm like, I've never seen that before.
Now, can you imagine if I saw the devil came over here?
It will not work.
Thank you. Even if they just released it the way it is in America, people would be lining up to ban that shit.
Especially, yeah, especially at the end.
Oh my God. Especially when he's raping little girls. She's like, come on now. You know damn well there was some mother walk up. I don't think that was that. It's disgusting. It's like, oh my God, people, it's fucking movies, man. Stop taking this shit to be real. Like, taking this shit for real life.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think America. I think I Sony's releasing this one, right?
They do buy some of the devil. They're releasing that one as well, too.
Oh, they're releasing that one? Oh, God.
Yeah. Sony has his hand in a lot of the international film. I don't know how, but they
Well,
do.
thankfully, I don't know if it how big of a thing is, but Gareth is at least the executive producer on the remake. I'm sure he does not going to have a massive say in shit, but
No, he really doesn't, actually.
he's probably just name only.
I guess I was about to say they got that dude for name only just to get people excited for him to,
Well, he
because.
edited this too, so he did everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, and he's won, I think he's won every time he's nominated for editing, he won.
Oh, yeah.
Editing was perfect.
Dude is a great editor. Like, one of the best editors in the business today.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that fucking editing was great in this.
I don't see why. This is the first time I'm probably ever going to complain about a remake, though. I don't see why a remake is so soon when this trilogy isn't even over yet.
Yeah,
I
when are they
don't know
supposed to
what it
start the
is.
remake?
I don't know what it is about Sony and making these fast-ass remakes, man, but Jesus Christ, man.
I
I think
mean,
the only remake I can give them credit to as far as release dates is RoboCop, because we ain't seen a RoboCop movie since the 80s, so it's just like,
yeah,
at least that one's recent, but man, their recent remakes, dude, it's like, okay, that was like 4 years ago. What the fuck? And then you see with this one, this is the most baffling remake ever, because it's like, but this is still going on, though. I mean, what the fuck?
you know
Why is
what,
this?
Sony? Don't remake it, just freaking buy the movie and just release it.
You know what it is, too, though? It's because when Sony remakes it, I'm hearing rumors that it's coming out the same time the third one comes out. What they're going to do is, obviously, the third one ain't going to get that distribution for, worldwide release or whatever. It's going to be released in, probably two theaters in major cities and shit like that and get the huge Blu-ray distribution back.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna try to steal the hype off of that by saying we got the theater worldwide. Check it out.
And
That
they're trying to
that's the
get
place that's coming from.
and they're trying to get probably the a big name like Chris Hemsworth. Sorry, Lehman. I have a better shot at directing you than you get into a big name role.
That's why, because I no doubt, without a doubt, if Sony released this with the remake, where people are gonna go check it out. Because they're going to be having that intuition thinking like, oh, it's that movie I wanted to see in Indonesian, but I never got a chance to find it. Well, now I can go check it out in the American version or whatever. It's like, oh, Jesus
And they're gonna think
Christ.
it's and they're gonna think it's awesome, and they're gonna watch this one and be like, oh, you know what, the American version was better. But they cannot do, because one, the scene I love it in I Saw the Devil was the very end with the dramatic, with him crying on the road. They cannot pull that off here.
So either, because you know why? Because Americans don't like fucking reading subtitles. Number one, that's why you're
Yeah.
right when they're gonna say, "Oh, their American one was better," just because I didn't have to read shit. That's the one thing. And I saw the devil is, I want to say, 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, I want to say so.
Yeah, people ain't reading no subtitles for 2.5 hours long in a theater. But
Mm-mm.
yeah, man, when they remake that one, I'm gonna be like, wow, okay. I don't have a problem remaking it, but if you're gonna remake it, keep it foreign. But for American standards, man, that movie's gonna be so fucking watered down. It's gonna be PG-13 or some shit like that. You're gonna be like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this was a hard R too, if there
Oh,
was
they
a
know.
rating. Hard R.
Yeah, I don't, like you said, foreign films don't have ratings. They're just straight R.
Yeah, and that's a good thing
That's what
about.
I love. That's what I love about foreign films, man. They don't hold back.
Like, if I saw the devil, if that was PG-13, the movie's not worth it.
No, it doesn't work. There's a lot of violence in there, but that was the first time I saw a movie with violence where I said it's necessary violence for that ending.
Yeah, and this one's the same way. Like, Dread, we both like Dread, but that's watered down.
Yeah, well, compared to this, yeah, definitely watered
And I think that was an R, too. I think Dread was an R.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, there was. It was rated R. Yeah,
But
no,
that
for
was a
sure.
watered down R.
Yeah. I don't think you can steal a light bulb in America.
It blows my mind that America, like Sony, but you said they're got their hand in international, that they want to do shit like this that's gonna ruin a really good movie.
The reason why they do it is because, a lot of Americans haven't seen it, but they know about it, but they, obviously it's hard to find, they haven't seen it, so, they're just, gonna build off the hype of what that international film did, and it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, now people get both of the films fucking mixed up, but they get
Yeah.
this federal, I don't like that idea at all, so, yeah, that's gotta be the, I don't really care, I don't really mind remakes and sequels and shit like that, but that's probably the Raid one, that one's kind of burning my bridges right now, I'm like, I no. Especially with the failure, I don't think that.
No, especially Sony's
Oh yeah, thank God. Yeah, that's another thing too. Sony record? Oh fuck no, man, Jesus Christ! I saw a movie that's coming out from Sony that everyone has been hyping up since that trailer debuted and talking about how great it looks. I'm gonna tell you right now, man, that movie is dog shit. Okay, so
Can
people
you stay the movie?
what was that?
Can you stay the movie?
No. Unfortunately.
Can you message it to me?
Yes, I can message it to you. I will message it to you right now, actually, whenever it's over. There you go.
All right, let's see. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you this right now. I don't know if you've seen the hype that everyone keeps giving it, but. Okay, anyway. Final thoughts, Z.
Final thoughts. This is a high see it. Is there any other doubt? Come on. This is like just like the movie poster said, best action movie in decades. It's true. You don't get a lot of dialogue. You get it goes from one fight scene to him running to the next floor, another fight scene.
Yes.
And these aren't it and he's not like some superhero, it's not a one-sided fight. He literally gets his ass kicked.
Actually, was not great about it. You know that American remake's gonna have so much dialogue in it. It's gonna be like, why is this guy still talking? When was the next action? I guarantee you'll be saying that remake. When's the next action scene?
Well, that's why I kind of like I don't mind Expendables 1. I think I appreciate it for how stupid a stupid action movie it was. It's forgettable. But when you got to Expendables 2, the only guy that can do a fight scene disappears 2 minutes into the movie, Jet Li.
Oh, Jelly.
He disappears and he never comes back.
Third one, they just have to hold the gun. And I was just like, wow, what's the point of Jelly even being here then?
A name, probably. And Jet Li,
Yeah.
I've seen. He does some good shit. He does amazing shit.
Man, I saw a recent video of him doing something like that. Once again, me talking shit about his movies doesn't discredit Jet Li's martial arts ability, but my problem with that is, why get a guy that knows martial arts but don't have him do martial arts in the film? I don't get that. Like, what was the point, Stallone, you even hired him? Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, it's kind of like I'm trying to think of like. Okay, think of Charlize Theron.
Didn't think
Hottie.
about her.
Okay, think about like in Monster. Now, even though it's a good movie, you made her ugly.
That is true.
So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like taking the hot girl and making her ugly.
For no unnecessary reason.
Yeah, kind of like, it's like kind of like in teenage drama and teenage comedies, they just put glasses on the hot girl and she's ugly.
I was about to say they do that. Oh man, they teenage drama. They do that shit in American movies today. Whatever shit's like, oh, because she's nerdy looking. She's not gorgeous. It's like, what the fuck?
She's wearing glasses. She's ugly.
Thank you. She wears glasses and wears her blouse button up all the way. Yeah, she's ugly. It's just like, what? Matter of fact, you know what? Tom Perry did that shit actually in a movie.
Wait, what?
He did that shit in Tom Perry's Temptation where the main girl trying to say, like, girl, you don't go out enough or stuff like that just because she wears her blouse dressed up all the way. Her hair isn't stylish and shit like that because it's always, like, rolled up. And then, Kim Kardashian comes like, girl, you need a makeup. I was just like, okay, is this a Tyler Perry's way of saying this girl is ugly? I was like, come on, she's still gorgeous. I was like, look at her, like.
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense.
Actually, that pisses me off. That's one of the biggest cliches going on right now that I fucking hate.
Glasses, put her in like baggy clothes.
Yeah, am I right? They're doing it in that 50 Shades of Grey movie too. That trailer where they're when he's just like, "Look at you, you're just a common girl." And she's like, "That girl is gorgeous. What are you talking about?"
It makes no sense. It really doesn't.
Like all these women in Hollywood. I mean, I can think of more hot women in Hollywood than I can ugly ones. And yet they still put them in movies going like, "She's the ugly one out of the three." It's like, what? No. Maybe even your standards or whatever. It's like, Charlize Theron, main one who they keep going with is Jennifer Lopez. They keep trying to stick her as like, oh, she's the family woman and stuff like that. Now it's like, that girl is still fucking hot for 50. What are you talking about?
Yeah, she's no family woman.
Exactly. Fuck her family. Shit, that girl is still, you can put her as a 20-year-old, I still believe. Come on, that girl's hot.
It just... American cinema just, I think, dumbs us down.
Yeah. You know, I wish one day people would catch on to that, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and give this a high C without a doubt, man. I think this is easily one of the best action films out there. You know why I got Z? It's because it's nothing but action.
Which is not hard to do.
Another reason why America didn't do it is because it'd be straight CGI and they have to pay too much for it.
And I think CGI, if the, say like the fight scenes were CGI,
yeah.
I think it would, they'll do like crazy fucking shit that's humanly impossible.
Yeah.
Which would, I think this would, this raids, it's kind of, it's looks, it's realistic.
Yeah.
And American would just CGI and make it like, watch the guy, watch Rama jump from like three floors down or something. Without breaking a bone or something.
Yeah, here he falls, he's breaking shit.
Yeah.
I love the scene at the second one where after he gets done beating everybody, he just kind of passes out and shit. when the backup gets there, he's all bloodied up, holding his arm, is dragging his leg and shit, and then he just looked at him and goes, and just faints. I was just like, yeah, that's you know, in the action films today, you'll have like the main guy was to have like a cut in his face, and he'll just walk past the police cops, all cool and shit. Like, nothing happened. It's like, what? No big deal. But yeah, definitely give this a high C as well, man. This is definitely easily one of the best action films ever. The characters in here, they deliver what they need to do, man. And I think the sequel lives up to the hype. I think this one. Had some of the best fight scenes I've ever seen personally,
without a doubt, the best fight scenes you could ever see.
Yeah, this director, man, this dude is a fucking gem in Hollywood, and I would love to see him in more films, but I'm a little afraid that studios might tell him, "Look, you ain't a big fish here. We are, so do what we tell you." So. I would hate for them to water down this guy's, you know, track record and shit, but,
and we've seen that before. We've seen that.
Especially with Sony.
We've seen that with directors, that they're, you know, they do amazing lower-budget movies, then they get to a higher budget, bam, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, you know, Sony has a track record of stepping in on directors, too, so... Especially with Spider-Man. Mark Webb didn't have a hand in none of the fucking films, whatever. So he was on his ass the whole way through. So you know, but yes, I see it, man. So we're getting some questions here, man.
Yeah.
Steve, man, he says, man, you guys have catered to doing bad Spielberg films. I don't think we necessarily thought about it though when we, you know, catered to those.
we had no idea Hook was a Spielberg movie.
And we did vote for that too, by the way. So that well, we did vote for Indiana. But still, and Jurassic Park, obviously that was the only time I really catered to a Spielberg, I want to say.
Yeah.
Because I think that is where his hand really came in. But so somewhere in Hollywood, I would like to believe he's listening, screaming, "Why can't you guys review one of my good films?"
Well, if he's listening, make better movies.
I say, because he doesn't have any good movies. Anyway.
He probably has what, Jurassic Park? Jaws?
Jurassic Park, Jaws,
You want us to
Did
Close
she
Encounter?
make
He did Close Encounters, right?
Did he do that?
I don't know.
I'm not sure, actually.
I'm looking that up.
I'm a ghost Snoop Spielberg after finding out that he directed Hook. I forgot. I did not know that.
Well, Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Except for Ryan. So, yes, he has about. Okay, to go back on the track record of saying, there's more hot Hollywood women than there is ugly ones, he has more bad films than he has good ones. Let's
Which people won't fucking admit it.
No, they won't.
They're like,
Because he has a
oh,
lot.
Lincoln, Warhorse, great movies.
Oscar-nominated, award-winning movies. Yes, it's like, what?
Amistad. Movie's fucking amazing. No, it's not.
No, thank you. And that's even go from me saying that because people say, oh, you people and you love those slave kind of movies and shit like that. No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't like them at all. Actually, I like 12 Years a Slave because that movie was fucking phenomenal.
It was.
But
Yeah.
no.
'Cause you feel it, And Amistad, you didn't feel the
Damn thing.
drama.
I fucking hated the Help. I hated that movie. I don't like Help. I fucking hate Amistad. I don't hate it, but I don't like Amistad. Lincoln, I thought was a piece of shit. Which actually dealt with slaves and really didn't at the same time. I don't know how that's possible. The only one I remember even enjoying 3D was Color Purple, which I think Spielberg directed that one, if I'm not
He
mistaken, right?
did.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that one in a while, so I don't necessarily know if that still holds up, but no, because people were saying that I gave passes to the slave films or whatever. I'm just like, no, that's
Nah,
nothing.
you did. Let's just say Django.
I'm about to say, yeah, I fucking hated Django.
I didn't hate Django. But
Django had moments.
it had moments, but it was too fucking long.
And it wasn't inconsistent. It was inconsistent like a motherfucking. Then, to find out that like Tarantino getting pissed at, he's like, "Why is people laughing? This isn't a comedy." So I'm even more angry now because he's sitting up here telling people, "I didn't make no comedy film." I'm just like, "This wait a minute, this wasn't a comedy? So you really thought you was making some African hero or something like that?" He's like, "And now I'm insulted, dude."
Yeah,
I'm
this
insulted.
I would say with Leo was not threatening.
I thought he was phenomenal, though.
He was oh yeah, Leo and fucking damn it.
Christoph
Christopher
Waltz.
Waltz were awesome.
I thought Leo was better than Christoph. I think Leo got the shaft in that award thing where Waltz got nominated and Leo didn't. I was like, wow. I call bullshit on that one.
But yeah, they were both good. Leo was better because he was very cat he his charisma oozed off.
Yeah, he was really good as portraying what he did. I thought he actually was better than Waltz. I expected that from Waltz,
And
but
we both say he's
I
better than
definitely
Jamie
believe it.
Foxx.
Jamie Foxx ain't a goddamn thing if that Will Smith is correct.
Yeah, thankfully Will Smith turned it down.
It's like, how the fuck you gonna sit up here and tell me, Tarantino, that you're trying to create a hero that black people could look up to, and you don't give this nigga no dialogue?
Yeah, I think he said what? He spoke, what, 10, 15 minutes on a fucking 2.5 hour movie?
It was a 3 hour film, remember?
I must have blacked out in 1 hour then.
It was a 3 hour film. This dude gets 10-15 minutes screen of talking time, and at the end of the movie, he doesn't even kill the bad guy, the main villain.
No, fucking no. Yeah, it's Leo.
And then it ends with him dancing with a horse?
How can that not be funny?
That whole Tony Hill scene was meant to be a comedy. Come on now. See, man, sometimes I want to say I respect you, Tarantino, for your great films. I love Jackie Brown, Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, and shit like that. But some of the shit that dude be saying, man, you just be like, you insulting my intelligence now. You're kind of pissing me off.
We both agreed that Tarantino probably is probably one of the biggest egos in Hollywood.
Man, dude, for this Django thing, I've seen him walk out for interviews just because they asked him about was it a comedy or not.
Yeah, so I can see. I just can't. I mean, because I kind of going what Steven's rest of the question was, who what director thinks overrated? I'm gonna say Tarantino.
Okay, so he said anyway, so you guys think Spielberg is overrated? Also, which director do you think is overrated? Spielberg? I don't, man, that's hard to say because the Jurassic Park, man, that was so fucking good. But then again.
That was 20 years ago, or that was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, you know.
No, it was 20 years ago.
Maybe, yes, because you know what? He made sequels, so.
I think, especially the Academy, they stuck his dick way too much.
Spielberg come out and say, you know why that's the only fucking reason why Transformers, the last one, even got a consideration for his life shouldn't be down there because Spielberg backs that film up.
And if he backs, what, you're talking about four, part four?
Yeah.
He's backing that shit up. You know he's overrated.
I don't know what it is, his affiliation with Michael Bay, but
Michael Bay must have some fucking pictures of him or something.
maybe it's because Bay is like, you know, a special effects director, and Spielberg appreciates that because he's made one of the biggest special effect films of all time. I don't know, but I guess I don't know. I don't see where this, I don't know where this friendship collides and where they love each other's work and back it up so much. I really don't get that, but they don't even look like to me they would even be friends. Spielberg looks like some conservative looking motherfucker.
Yeah, Spielberg looks like one of those guys with those, like, it's not like a cigarette, but he's got one of those long things that's holding the cigarette that he's smoking.
And Michael Bay looks like he's got a Budweiser sitting in the pool,
In his front yard. And he's
on
got beer cans flowing in there, keeping them
a
cold.
pool, American flag
He's got American flag swim shorts on. There's only a little too much of patriotism you can take. No. And people worship him. Like, yes, he has made good movies. But he's like in the Spielberg, he's made a lot of bad movies.
Eagles up his ass.
Yeah, I can't think of any other directors that I think
He's
overrate
one of
him.
those guys that think he can't do any wrong, no matter what he does. And you know what? The Vienna's fair, right? People will defend him. And he's stupid as soon as he decides to make. It's like in Django. Why the fuck were we listening to some Rick Ross music?
Yeah, I know. And Kanye.
And Tupac.
Yeah, and then what? He threw like a hissy fit when his one script, that Western he's doing, leaked online. He had a hissy fit. It was like, I'm not gonna make it now.
Yeah, I saw this. I was like, dude, what's your. It doesn't make any difference. What the fuck? It's just the script. It doesn't matter.
He's a fucking drama queen.
Diva. Yeah, Stanley, he's a fucking diva, dude. I mean, if the dude asks you a question, were you making a comedy or not, you get mad about that. I mean, I think all you gotta say is no if you don't think he wasn't. Why are you getting mad about it?
It's, yeah, I know. It's like everyone's gotta worship him. Kinda like Uwe Boll.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, if you disrespect Uwe Boll, he'll fucking punch you. Remember years ago when he made that challenge for all reviewers? About boxing him? That guy has no filter.
To say Django wasn't a comedy, and then you do that BET interview where you dressed up like with baggy clothes and shit and started talking street stuff like that, you gonna sit up here and tell me now that you get mad if people ask you if it was a comedy, but yet you did this comedic ass fucking interview? And then you gonna sit up here and say, now what I really was doing, and he doesn't say trying, he's saying, this is what I know for a fact I've done, I've created a black hero. This is like, man, your arrogance makes me not like you. Because you're saying some stupid shit right about now.
Were you proud to have Jamie Foxx? as
Man,
your hero.
hell no. The only reason why Jamie Foxx was in that movie was so the word nigga could be said 115 times.
And we've established, or you've established, that in Selma, you don't need to say it that many times.
No. I think they said it like twice. They say Negro more than anything, whatever, which was more acceptable. Well, not back in that time, but I see black people take it upon them, their name to call themselves Negro with the, you know, the Negro League and United Negro Fund and shit like that, whatever. So, but,
Yeah.
no, yeah, exactly. Like you said. So, fuck out of here, Tarantino, with that shit, man. For you to sit up here and look me in the eye and say, like, didn't I make a hero for you? It's like, no, you insulted me with this character, to be honest.
I mean, I don't, like, despise Django. It's just that when Walt and Leo died, it's kind of like, whatever.
I think I despise Fox and Tarantino more than anything. Fox for even fucking accepting that role, and Tarantino for fucking his ignorance. I think, because I'm with you, I don't really hate the movie that much. I hate it, but there are some parts there that I do like. But the person I can never go back to watch the movie. I'm not gonna lie, I can never go back to watch that film. First of all, it's fucking long, and the performances ain't that goddamn great where I need to see the movie. Tarantino's ignorance, he kind of pushed me to hate that movie. And Fox for even accepting and greenlighting and loving what's going on with it and shit, he kind of ignorance pissed me off as well too. But because my God, man, you're not a black man, Steve, but come on now, see, Tarantino told you some shit like that, I'm sure you'd be insulted too. Like what?
Yeah, that he's pretty much one that's stereotyping him right now, the way he, what you were saying about his BET interview.
Yeah, it's like, second of all, yeah, but don't you think that it was cool to free the slave? How did you free him? By having him follow the white man the whole way through the movie? I don't think
I
that's
guess that's
real.
how it works.
That's some help shit right there, you see what I'm saying? I don't think it's freeing a slave if you have, he's damn near almost 2 steps away from being a butler that can just speak for his own, so. I don't see anything. I don't see anything powerful about this character at all. I don't, because Christoph Waltz does all the talking for him. So,
I can't think of any other directors that are overrated.
man, I know there's a lot of them out there. Hey, you know what? That Godzilla director, that nigga's overrated.
Yeah. Well, I think we can both say Michael Bay.
See his movies just to see action films.
Oh, I just thought of one.
What do you got?
Tim Burton.
Oh, fuck yeah. He did have a movie that came out that I actually liked, Big Eyes, which actually got a lot of critical play. But, yeah, man, that dude, that was like his first good movie in what, how many years now?
Since Edward Scissorhands, probably.
Man. He made one of the first animated movies. I fucking despise. I thought it was the most boring shit. Frank Nguyen.
I remember the short.
Oh my God, man, that fucking movie. I never fell asleep in an animated film, but I fell asleep in this movie and woke up and was like confused. I was like, wait, what's good? I don't fall asleep, man. It was so fucking boring and dry. I was like, Jesus Christ, man. And his worlds he created, man, they're the same damn thing, dude.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps talking about how such a great visual director he is. I'm like, it's the same fucking world he's been making since the 80s. Shit. Nothing fucking different. Shit.
I mean, Burton and Tarantino and Spielberg are probably the only ones. I would say Lucas too, just because Star Wars, because of Star Wars. I think that's his only movies he's ever made.
Say that those original three, he didn't have his hands in a lot of that. I mean, especially for the best one that they say, which was the second one, The Empire Strikes Back. I hear a lot of stories that he didn't have his hands in a lot of that. So,
Oh, he directed Red Tails too.
Jesus fucking Christ, that's right. Fucking hate that movie.
So we can pretty much say that he, because if it doesn't, Because that doesn't deal with space. That's like slaves. Or not slaves. That's the black fighter pilots, right?
Yeah, I remember I actually had a bet with that movie with someone. He was telling me that movie. George Lucas' name is attached to it. We finally get a black movie that's going to, because of appreciate and stuff like that. He's like, it's going to be number one in the box office. And I told him, it's not going to be number one in the box office. He's like, he'll be a high profile director like Twilight. It's not going to be number one box office. At the time, this when Rich Us came out, Underworld came out too. And I was telling him, I was like, Underworld's going to dominate that movie. I'm telling you this right now. And I won that bet, obviously, because Underworld was number one and Red Tail was number five.
Bomb!
And, it was funny because I have a cousin, actually, who just came out here last week for the holidays, whatever, from Louisiana. And he was a Tuskegee Airman for the Red Tails and stuff like that. They invited him to premiere Red Tails and shit like that. And I asked him, I said, hey, so cousin, what was it like having a shitty movie made of you guys? I said, that had to disrespect your honor right there, didn't it? And I'm not going to even answer what the statement was.
I can only assume what he said.
Hey, man, the next person I got here is, Adler says, were you guys fans of Smell as children, or was it too fond, or was it too fond of it even back then?
I don't remember it as a kid.
I remember it as a kid. I remember not giving a shit about it. Yeah, we even had the movie on VHS and shit, and I remember I watched it, and I looked at it, and it's just like, oh, okay. I never really cared about Peter Pan that much. I watching this movie, at least rewatching it as an adult, I was like, wow, this really doesn't help me, man, care about Peter Pan. But I'm not big on fantasy films.
I might have seen this as a kid. I just maybe blacked out.
I'm sure you. I think everybody saw this.
But
I don't blame you for forgetting though, because I don't remember anything until the rewatch. And the rewatch, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But no, I wasn't that fond of it as a kid. Actually, I'm sorry if you was. I know Kayla was, but you know.
Yeah, I think she's throwing me on the bus.
Yeah, I was talking about. I just gave her my honest opinion about.
Yeah.
See why you still can't appreciate the movie?
Because it's not good.
It's actually horrible. That other movie's horrible.
How do you start? How do we start off the year reviewing Hook?
Damn, I don't know.
I think when they vote the other.
Yeah.
I think they punish us.
I don't get how people vote Hook like that. That literally came out.
That's when he sent me that text. I'm like, that's random.
Random shit I've ever fucking seen. I don't know, maybe because Robin Williams, or maybe it's because people like, I don't know. But
Well, then we found out it's probably because it's based on Spielberg.
Yeah. I thought it was horrible, man. Like I said, I never really cared about Peter Pan. Even the Disney movie, I thought it was a good film, but it still never piqued my interest to, like, care about Peter Pan. I know Peter Pan had a lot of books and shit, too, right?
I think there is.
Yeah, I never went out to go read those books afterwards, anything like that.
Because it's the same story.
Yeah.
It's only... So. This Hook's the only one that's actually, like, changed the story up a tad.
Yeah. I think that's where I admire it for it. Then when I watched the movie, I was like, oh, that's what you do with it. Oh, okay.
It's not. It's really not a good movie.
I say you make Peter Pan rated R.
And make Hook a fucking a real pirate.
Make him a real bastard. You know, I'm telling you, man. You quote that storyline, it's like Tinkerbell comes to find an older Peter Pan, and she's like telling him, hey, you need to come back to Neverland, man, because fucking Hook is just, he's upset now with trying to fight you. He's burning down building bridges. And when Peter Pan goes back to Neverland, you see like just... He's on fire and shit like that. We're blown up.
Kids' bodies, all
kids
the Lost
body,
Boys.
Whatever, shit. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Do that, whatever. I mean, make it feel for the adults this time, you know? Make people fuck about Hook, you know?
Yeah, and this is exactly Hook. Good point about you sh about shoehorning shit in there. The whole Tinkerbell falling in love with fucking Rock. That came out of fucking nowhere. That literally came out of like fucking left field, and it fucking beat us in the hooks. That was like a 10-minute scene of that bullshit. How do you populate Neverland with Tinkerbell?
Jesus Christ, man. You were like, I forgot about that. You're right, man. They fucking crowbarred that shit. It is like, where did that? And then it just vanishes.
Yeah, this never brought up again. She comes back when they're fighting at the end and she's smiling. I'm like, you got over it that fast? It was the night before.
Like, Peter's not going to acknowledge it? Or they're not going to say, hey, can we still be proud? Oh, no, like, dropped or whatever. It's like, what?
Fuck you, Spielberg. Seriously.
They were so crowbars. Well, I'm fucking kidding. Jesus, man. Come on. And that was the plot, too, based around them kids, man.
This seems like a a pedophilia movie.
It was creepy. I'm not gonna lie. Robin Williams' scenes were a little bit creepy to me. I was like, okay.
And then, again, I'll bring this up. He picks the fattest kid in the fucking camp to be the new leader. I'm like, look at this kid. He can't keep in shape. How's he gonna keep everyone else in shape?
The fuck, he's gonna save everyone. God, I hire you, Spielberg, but give him equal opportunity.
He's happy because he put the black man in charge.
I'm happy that he's just like, you know, saying, hey, we're not looking for the pretty, good-looking, in-shape guy. But at the same time, come on now, let's be real.
That kid, we saw that kid eat, and that kid's gonna get diabetes and lose his fucking foot.
You know when he was having that food fight, he was like, what are y'all doing this for, man? He would take a good fat hour.
They should just... I want to see a fat Albert after, when he has diabetes.
What's going on?
A fat Albert Peter Pan movie.
You know what, see, you ask me when it's over time, bitch.
Oh. Now Fat Albert's a fucking rapist.
They did a skit on South Park one time where they called him Fat Abbott.
Abbott?
Yeah, have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, I gotta send you this link. It's one of the funniest shit you ever seen. They make him rated R.
Nice.
And because the mother made, she says, stop watching Terrence Phil, watch nice cartoon. And they were just like, oh, we don't want to watch this. It's probably crap. And then they heard him like cussing. They was like, oh, this is actually badass. He was like, Rudy told him, he said, man, Fat Albert, you need to lose weight. He was like, man, I lose weight when I feel like a bitch. He was like, who you calling a bitch? He was like, I'm calling you a bitch. I had my dick sucked 27 times last week. I'll bust a cap in your bitch ass. And Stan was just like, damn, cartoons are getting violent these days.
Oh, that's funny.
It's really old. I think that was like part of season one or two or three, somewhere around there, or whatever.
Oh, when the animation was kind of amateurish.
Yeah, well, shit is still amateur.
Well, it's a lot better than it started out as.
And you know what I love about those directors, though, is that they know it was shit. They're proud of it.
You know what? They're pretty much like foreign directors in movies that they don't give a shit. They'll rip anyone apart.
There's a great documentary you should watch of those two. They explain how they created software. They were like, we use cheap construction paper that we got at the 99 cent store. We don't want to use that, but we were broke and had no choice.
Have you ever seen the, I think it was 15-minute documentary about how they put a show together?
Yes, I did see that.
That was amazing.
Central, right?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was really good. I think those dudes are two of the most talented people on TV still today.
Yeah, that show's been on for, what, 16 years?
I think they get easily forgotten, though, because, you know, Seth MacFarlane brought his untalented ass in.
Family Guy's cool.
Family Guy's hit and miss. South Park is never hit and miss. And
Cleveland plus, Show's terrible.
I'm telling you, Family Guy, I'm starting to hate that show even more because the fucking comedy is just so goddamn random. It just comes out of nowhere. You're just like, I don't even see what the context of that now. The only thing that's funny about it is the punchline itself, but it's just like, as a story, though, it makes no damn sense. And then his last movie, Million Ways to Die, that was one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever fucking seen. That was just like, Jesus, that was fucking god-awful. I think those Seth MacFarlane boys that keep giving him a pass and shit like that. they tend to forget that Matt Parker and Trey Stones are the original two comedians on TV for anime shit. Those two were fucking geniuses.
Well, I guess that's a pass with Ted, though.
A Million Ways to Die West was 20 times worse than fucking Ted. I'm here to
well, I like
you.
Ted.
I don't give a fuck. Ted, fuck Ted. I'm telling you that right now. Fuck Ted.
I like Ted.
You know what? There you go. The overrated director, Seth MacFarlane. That nigga's overrated.
He's only done two movies, right?
I don't give a fuck. He's overrated.
You know who I get confused? Him. I get him confused with the Spawn guy.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Seth MacFarlane, overrated. Everybody was fucking hyped up that fucking Million Ways to Die. That was... I rewatched a clip of that movie. The movie pissed me off. That movie was horrible.
I think the trailer pretty much tells you it's horrible.
Thank you. I was telling that to Lehu and all them fanboys because they were talking about, like, oh, this movie's going to be so great. I was just like, no, that's just y'all love for it. Because they were calling out Tarantino in that film saying, this is how you make a spaghetti western film and shit like that. And I was like, y'all haven't even seen the movie yet. Wait till you fucking see it. And people were still giving it passes and shit like that. I was like, man, y'all, that's what the fucking God. Seth MacFarlane has created another group of fucking fanboys. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Just what the world needed.
I'm with you. I think that's his only, what, Million Ways to Die and Ted. I think that's his only two feature director.
I know he's got something else coming. Ted 2 comes out this year, right?
I think it is this year.
Yeah, I think it's this year, if I'm not mistaken. Which I don't know why there's a sequel to that shit anyway. So.
No. You don't need a...
I think he's getting a little head up his ass now, or whatever. Because I'm not gonna lie, Ted was funny, but Ted has some major directorial problems.
And didn't
went on too goddamn long.
Didn't he have a huge hand in Hellboy 2?
I'm not sure of that actually. And damn, I haven't heard that word Hellboy in long, I don't know how long. I don't like Seth MacFarlane. You can go fuck himself.
He's kind of a douche.
Oh, he's gonna be even more of a douche now that he's got all these fucking movies and people loving his ass, whatever, but... Oh, people. That is throwback. That is the show today.
That's it.
That has been the show today. I have to get out of here. I have to put the tie on and then go talk about Godzilla or something.
You're just gonna put a tie on and a leather clothes?
Yeah, my drawers.
Because we know you do this show naked.
Well, yeah. hey, to be fair, I do wear long black socks, so wear my dressy socks. So yes, socks, my black briefs, and a tie. That's all you need. Oh, and a watch.
That's the tail. That's the office of a businessman.
Hey, damn straight or whatever. So now I'm gonna put my loafers on.
And loafers.
My penny loafers from Michael Jackson's museum that I stole. Oh, wait, edit that out, see, I can't put that on. No, sorry. People, that has been Throwback Tuesday, episode 82. I'm the Phenomenal One, of course.
I am Z, of course.
And, of course, this was a great show. And, of course, you will be listening to this. And, of course, we will be back next week. Later, bastards.
See ya.